I'm thankful for that great name. How about you? I don't know if you noticed it, but every song tonight was talking about the name of Jesus, Brother Chris. Something about having that name that makes your life a little bit easier. It's nice to know some people. Maybe you know somebody in power. Maybe you know somebody really important, and you can throw out that name every once in a while. Sometimes I don't like when people do that. But there's nothing like the name of Jesus. There's nothing like saying, you know what? I know Jesus, and he knows me by my name. So let's just take another second tonight and just thank Jesus for his name and that power that he gives us. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that we can worship you. We thank you for your name that you apply to our lives, Jesus. Hallelujah, such a name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, I'm excited to be here tonight. A little bit different than your normal Wednesday night speakers, but I like to teach. So I hope you guys like to hear what I have to say. Brother Jason Lindsay was passing out the handouts when we were coming in. He tried giving me one. I said, if I need this right now, we're all in big trouble. So if you've been here the last couple weeks, we've been going through a book by Brother Daniel Seagraves called Proverbs, Ancient Wisdom for Today's World. I will be referencing that a lot this evening in my lesson. If 2 weeks ago, Brother Reaver did the first section, as Brother Seagraves divided the book of Proverbs into three separate sections. The first section, just in a little bit of review, is some monologues in praise of wisdom itself, just talking about how important it is to have wisdom. Brother Michael McGuire last week, in section 2, which is chapters 10 through 24, he had the bulk of the book, was talking about proverbs and epigrams that deal with wisdom in daily life. How many believe we can still get wisdom for our lives, our everyday lives, from the Bible? And then tonight, section 3, which is chapters 25 through 31, there's additional proverbs and epigrams that were copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, which probably the most notable chapter out of this section is the last one, chapter 31, which talks about the virtuous woman. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to 1 Kings 29, this scripture is referenced in a lot of this book. You may say, I thought we were talking about Proverbs, but we are, with a reference of 1 Kings. It said, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. If you study scripture at all in history, and you know that Solomon was considered the wise king, and that is something I've tried to kind of model myself after, having some wisdom in different situations of daily life. But I've also learned that if you want to be better at something, you surround yourself with people who are good at that. If you want to set out to have a successful business, do you just kind of wing it? Or do you maybe read some books by some successful business owners? Go to some conferences. It doesn't matter what field you're in. I bet you there is some conference to go to, some seminar you can go to learn, to glean wisdom from people that have been on before you, that have kind of paved that trail. Maybe they have some of the bugs fixed into your systems, and you can learn from that. Or some of the younger people, I don't know if anybody here is still looking for a career in sports. If you are, probably a little bit too late. Maybe some of the people back in the youth service can do that. But when you're growing up and you want to be successful in sports, you find a good coach. My son wanted to play baseball when he was younger. So I said, I'm going to coach you. I'm going to coach your team. I was not a good coach. Our team didn't really do that good. We did that for a few years. It probably took me longer than anybody else to figure out that that probably wasn't my thing, and he figured out that wasn't his thing. He is really good at Xbox right now. But, you know, maybe you find a good coach. You practice. Some more professionals find, you know, video and tape of the opposing team to study, to figure out, to be better at what their craft is. So how do we grow in wisdom? We surround ourselves with godly leaders. We surround ourselves with the Word of God, and we read the Scripture. We read the book of Proverbs. It's full of wisdom. We seek out wise counsel from our pastor, from those that have been before us, leaders in the church. How does the world gain wisdom? Using the book by Dr. C. Graves as a guide, I'm going to discuss hashtag wisdom. In studying this book for this lesson, section 2 and 3 are made up of epigrams. I really didn't know what that word was. So I had to look up the definition, you know, that big, wonderful place where we get definitions on Google. It describes an epigram as a terse or witty, pointed statement, a remark expressing an idea in a clever or amusing way. So if you stay with me for a minute, I promise I will tie this together. I hope so. The world seeks wisdom not just from the epigrams of Proverbs, not from the sayings of the wise King Solomon, but they seek wisdom from Instagram. Many people don't get their advice anymore from the Bible. They look to social media. They look to the news. They look to those around us to get wisdom. Have you heard the saying, "I've read it on the internet, so it must be true"? I've read a lot of things on the internet that I don't necessarily believe. We had a family reunion over the summer, and there's a particular extended family member that I'm not too close with, but I am connected to on Facebook. And I noticed some of the things that this person shared were kind of out there, like, okay, some medical cure for whatever. And like, okay, that really doesn't make sense, but okay, sure. And this certain individual said in that, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but said in that during that family reunion, "I'll try anything I read on Facebook." So for all you techno people, that's why I wanted to do the face palm, you know, little emoji. God, there's a lot of things that I've read on Facebook that I would not try. And please don't seek Facebook for your medical advice or WebMD, please, from somebody in the medical professional. Please, if you have some symptoms, call your doctor. Don't look it up on the internet. So if you want to, and obviously I'm not saying all social media is bad. It can be used for good things. My mother-in-law and I were discussing use of social media for promoting the Reflections magazine, and I've used it at work for different things, promoting education. But you better check your facts before you believe everything you read. And you better check wisdom to make sure what advice you're getting from social media. Also check the scripture, make sure it goes hand in hand. If you follow something on social media, you can use a hashtag or a pound sign for those that are older than me in front of a witty saying to follow that. So it's very popular at weddings. If you go to a wedding nowadays, you'll probably see it has a hashtag and some fancy saying after that. Or on a vacation, has anybody in this room done a hashtag for their vacation? Okay, a few people. Some of you may know my family and I, on my wife's side, took a trip 2 years ago, a two-week trip in an RV, two-week camping trip in an RV, 8 people in an RV that we rented that did not sleep 7 comfortably, so 8 in a one that wasn't even really made for 7, but we did have a hashtag. And our hashtag for that trip was RWC in an RV. So it was the Reavers, West, and Chancellors in an RV. If you want to go on Instagram or Facebook afterwards and search that hashtag, you'll probably find some nice pictures. I did bring a few tonight. Brother Eric, if you want to show up the first one. So this is us in that RV singing songs for the 2 weeks that we drove out west to South Dakota and to Wyoming. We can go on to the next one. I was not doing that in driving. This is in front of Old Faithful. How many realize Old Faithful really isn't that precise? It's actually like every 60 minutes to 110 minutes it goes off. It's really not. I figured, I thought I always heard you could set your watch by it. not necessarily true. The next one's probably my most favorite picture of that trip. You spend thousands of dollars and 2 weeks vacation, and the girl finds dirt to play with, and that's what she wanted to do. If you can't really tell, her face is just covered in dirt. It's my wife's very girly girl. As you notice, though, she does have a bow. She comes home from school every day looking a mess, but she does have a bow in her hair still. And Brother Crum, if you, I know you had an RV, you camped. You know, the first part of, and probably the hardest part of camping is when you initially get there and you set up. You know, you have to, all hands on deck. You get out, you make sure it's level, you hook up all the water, you do everything else. So this next picture is all of us doing that, if you want to show it. Brother Eric, oh, actually that was Brother Reaver supervising us as the other seven of us did set up the RV. So there are plenty, plenty, plenty more pictures from that trip if you would like to follow that. But on a serious note, let's take a look at what people learn about wisdom from Instagram, from social media. I am using Instagram. I am not paid for to endorse Instagram or paid to make it look bad. That is not my goal whatsoever. But tonight, the first one I want to look at, and it's in your handouts, social media says elect rulers that don't believe in absolutes. What is an absolute? It's a value or principle which is regarded as universally valid or which may be viewed without hesitate or relation to other things. Basically, it means, is something right or is it wrong? So the world says, don't vote people in that are going to take a strong line and say, this is right or this is wrong. They say, you know what? Do what you want. Elect people that are going to let you go out and make your own decisions, find your own way, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever makes you feel good. There's no defining right and wrong. But in Scripture, says there is a difference between righteous rulers and wicked rulers. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Scripture favors involvement of godly people in authority. If we look through Scripture, we see great men of God that had power, had political authority. We look at Joseph. You can look at Daniel or the three Hebrew children. It is proper for godly people to be involved in civic duties. I'm not saying we all need to run out and go sign up to run for an office. But I do believe we need to exercise our right that we have. I work in a place that is governed by a board of directors. I have one boss over me and then a six-member board that are just everyday people. And you want to talk about ethics or lack of ethics in local politics, what I've learned from working for a public entity, it is crazy. You can look at the headlines in our local Jefferson County leader this week and see, you know, I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to call people out by name, but people that are being involved in doing things just because they don't like somebody else in their politics. And if you look, there's many, many cases of ungodly people rising to positions of authority because holy people didn't get out and do their part. I am not saying, nor will I say, nor can I say, who to vote for or what to believe in, but I'm just saying, make sure you exercise your right to see that people of godly values are elected. Proverbs 28:12 says, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Go on in that same chapter down to 28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. These two scriptures accompany each other. If you think there will never be a time that we do not have to worry about worshiping God in the open, just sit back and watch. It's sad to say, but if we don't get involved and do our part, those things may come. It may not be too far off. No basic right is secure if you stand by and are silent. Earlier in Proverbs 11:11, it also says, has the same theme about righteous rulers versus wicked rulers. In Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5, it encouraged us to not only pray for our leaders. I think we're good at praying for our leaders of our local government, of our state, of our country. But it also advises us to pray for their advisors. Dr. Seagrave says, one of the most important factors in the success of someone in authority is having the right advisor. In the business world, we talk about span of control. And I don't know if anybody here is familiar with that term, but that is basically the number of subordinates a supervisor should have. Typically, depending on what you're doing, it's somewhere around 7 to 10, maybe 3, maybe 5, kind of depending on what business you're in. But basically, one supervisor shouldn't have more than that many people that report up to them. How do you manage? How does the CEO of General Motors manage that properly? I mean, I guess that can be even be questioned if it's managed properly or not. But they have leaders, they have supervisors that report up to them, people that are good in their areas of expertise that do what they need to do and report up to their leaders. And many times the leaders don't, they're so far disconnected from the bottom people, they make their decisions based on what the advisors come up and the advice that they give them. So it is very important to not only pray for our leaders. It's important to pray for the president, yes, but it's also important to pray for those that are advising the president as well. We don't want our basic rights as believers to be taken away if we don't do our part. Social media says use filters to hide your true situation or make it look better than what it really is. I understand not everybody in this room is familiar with all the terms and the ins and outs of social media, but a filter in this sense is a function used to alter the overall appearance of an image in a specific manner. So there may be a nice sunset outside, but somebody adds some filter to it, it makes it look a little bit better. I think they're used so common in social media, if somebody takes a picture that actually looks good, they even put on their hashtag no filter. Because it looked that good. They didn't have to add anything to it. You can add better lighting. You can add some effects. In our life, we can do it to hide our impurities, to make ourselves look great. We can become prideful and put those things over our life so the outside people can't really see what's going on. We try to make ourselves look really good on social media or in the world with hiding what's really going on. We look better than we really do. If we look in the book of Proverbs, it warns against being full of pride and self-promotion. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Going back to 28, verse 25, a proud heart stirreth up strife. James has something to say about this as well. And chapter 4, verse 6 said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Scripture repeatedly warns against being prideful. It's not about us. It's about bringing honor to God. It's easy to put those filters over our life, that's probably the easier thing to do in times than to step aside and give God the glory for what's going on. Or even to step aside and say, you know what, I'm broken right now. I don't have it all together. I may want to act like I have it all together, but I do not have it all together. And it's all right to do that because God can step in. It's so much easier for him to step in to that broken heart. It's easier for him to step into that person that's not pretending to be all right. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being confident in yourself or your identity as long as it brings glory to God. I'm confident in the professional world in starting an IV or intubating a person that's having trouble breathing. Let me rephrase. I used to be before I sit behind a desk all the time now. But I was very proud to do a good job. But I also did that to bring glory to God. I did my best to bring him glory by being good at my job and deflecting that honor away from me towards him. Proverbs 27:2 tells us that the best advertisement is not self-promotion, but the word of mouth to those around us. In chapter 25, verses 6 and 7, the writer warns against the dangers of exalting oneself. It says, let others honor and promote you. Verse 27 says, don't search for your own glory. So if I walk off this platform tonight and say, you know what, I did great, that's not going to mean as much as when all of you come to me and say, you know what, you just blew me away. Just kidding. I mean, if you want to, that's okay. But there's something that says if somebody else is going before you and promoting you versus me screaming at the top of my lungs, I did great, look at me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about bringing honor to God. Verse 27 along with 28 of chapter 25, tells us also to have self-control. He uses the analogy of it not being good to eat too much honey. I don't know about you, but I cannot eat that much honey. I don't know how Winnie the Pooh does it, but he just talks about, the writer talks about having that self-control. It's no self-control is related to a city with no walls. Back in the Bible time, a city that did not have walls, there was no safety, no protection. If you do not have self-control, you don't have that safety and protection. If a person cannot control their temper, their actions, their speech, they're subject to control by the enemy. Sometimes those things come in and take over, and we lose our control, and we say things, we do things, we act in certain ways that we shouldn't do because we don't have that self-control. It's not always easy to have self-control. It's not always easy to check yourself, to check your spirit and say, okay, I need to step back a little bit. I'm upset about whatever else, and maybe you're not the one in the wrong. Maybe somebody else did you wrong. But sometimes we need to stop and set and check ourselves and make sure we're having self-control so that doesn't open us up to be used by the enemy. Has anybody in here used or heard the term hangry? If you look on Google, the definition for hangry is bad-tempered or irritable in reference to being hungry. I cannot confirm or deny that I'm subject to this often. We may had a discussion, my wife and I, yesterday about a busy day that we have coming up and another appointment we added in between two appointments. I said, that's okay as long as I get to eat before we go to the next appointment. And she said, I do not want you to be hangry. When you're hangry, sometimes it's hard to control your actions. I do whatever I can to eat food. I try to be good all week long about watching the type of food I eat, whatever. But look out. If it's, I wanted to say like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten lunch, I'm going to like be real here and say if it's like 12:30 and I haven't eaten lunch yet, look out. You don't know whatever's in my way, there's probably a good chance that I'm going to eat that. And I think you can see where I'm going here. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, but can you imagine if we had that desire to be hangry for the Word of God? How many could do a little bit better about searching Scripture for wisdom, searching Scripture, searching the Word of God, having that desire that, look out, world, look out, everything else, get out of my way. I want to have that desire to learn more of the Word of God. Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loatheth on honeycomb, but to the hungry soul everything is sweet. If we do not have a spiritual hunger, we will not desire to learn his word. I need to pray more. God, give me that spiritual hunger, that whatever I can do to learn more about you and your word. Social media tells us to get in an argument with everybody you disagree with. You no longer have to be a subject matter expert. You no longer have to be a professional in the field to have an opinion or to share that opinion on social media. I did not coin this term, but I use it. There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. It's very, very easy to sit behind a computer or a phone and type whatever your thought is versus actually saying it to somebody face to face. If somebody doesn't agree with my politics, my religion either, or my ethics, I may just want to get on there and blast them and tell them why they're so wrong. I won't ask for a show of hands of people who are guilty for doing that. But if you look at Proverbs instead of social media, you'll see it warns against arguing with a fool. Proverbs 29:9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Scripture's telling us it's a waste of time to argue with a foolish person. Doesn't matter how far off they are from what you believe. If you're spending a lot of time arguing with them, it's going nowhere. Can I just say sometimes we as Christians do more harm than good by engaging in this type of behavior? Make sure you check with what you're saying. And again, it's okay if you get involved in a discussion and it turns to attacking, it turns to whatever, it's okay just to drop it and step out. There's nothing wrong with backing away. Even a face-to-face discussion in person. It's okay just to say, you know what, it's okay, and go on about your way. Sometimes we do too many, we cause the opposite of what we intend to do just because we get carried away. We don't have that self-control and we continue to argue to prove our point. Abraham Lincoln is credited with this saying, which I read this on the internet, so I really don't know if he said it for sure. But he's credited with the saying, it's better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. More and more in the last few years of my life, I've tried to use this as a guide to getting in discussions. Social media tells us not to discipline our children. The world's telling us, let them make their own decisions. Let them find their own way. It's okay, they'll figure it out. I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they cannot figure things out their own way out. They need some guidance. Proverbs shares the wisdom. There is wisdom of disciplining your children. In 29, verses 15 through 17, and again in 19, verse 19, says, a child left to himself brings a mother shame. I'm not turning this into a discussion on how you should or should not discipline your children. I'm just saying it is godly to train your children. It's godly as parents to show them the way. It's godly to show them what's right and wrong. And unfortunately, I think that's why we get into a lot of the problems that we're in, because nobody does it. Parents leave it up to the schools. Even Christian godly parents sometimes leave it up to the churches to train our children. Yes, that's a piece of the puzzle. The schools are a piece of the puzzle to help them grow in knowledge. But we as family members, we have a duty. We have a God-given duty, a duty in Scripture to train up our children, which one of these ways also includes discipline. Social media tells us to do whatever you can to get to the top. Many people talk about the importance of their own self and how I'm going to climb the ladder any way I can. I'm going to do anything I can do to get to the top of my field, to my business, or whatever it is. Don't worry who you knock down in the process. It's not about them. It's not about anybody else. It's about ourselves. It's what you can learn on social media sometimes. Position, money, spotlight, those things will bring fulfillment. If you follow any sort of news, last week you heard about the college admissions scandal. I have money, so I want to make sure my kid gets into the prestigious college. That's not what it's about, church. Proverbs tells us not to knock everybody down, not to do whatever we can to make sure we're at the top. Proverbs tells us to be servants to our masters. Proverbs 27:18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. The person who serves will be entitled to the rewards of that service. I've spent a lot of hours studying leadership. A couple weeks ago, in our leadership retreat at the church, Brother David Reaver, the first session to the department leaders was discussing what is your why? Why do you do things? What drives you? It's not what you are, who you are, but why do you do that? And once you find that out, you can almost see, and no matter what your job is or your position in the church or your position in the world is, there's something that drives you. And if something happens and you have to leave that job and you go somewhere else, that same why, that same desire can push you to do better. I've learned that my why is to be a good leader, to train people, to do what it takes to make people better. And sometimes we know why we have that why. In my case, I've learned it's because there's a lot of times in my life I didn't have somebody, a leader that I could look to and model myself after. I had a lot of leaders that I could look to and say, I don't want to be like them. So it drove me to learn more, study this topic, and to try to apply it in my daily life. And there are several different leadership styles. The one that I found that I try to practice on a daily basis is servant leadership. And if you look in the book of Proverbs, servant leadership is biblical. It is displayed by Jesus. So instead of walking in and saying, you know what, I'm the boss, I'm the chief, you guys need to get out there and wash your truck, you guys need to get out there and check your equipment, you need to do whatever it is, I try to spend the first part of my day sitting with my people, and I'm not saying this again to bring to credit to me, but sitting with the guys and ladies and drinking coffee and learning about their day and what drives them and what makes them tick. And I have text saved on my phone from different employees that say, hey, thanks for doing that. Hey, thanks for running that call for me. Thanks for doing that. That made a difference. That shows me that you care. So I didn't get to where I am by pushing others out of the way. I tried to get where I am by helping others and serving others. And I found that because of Scripture, the Bible, that's what Jesus displays. Social media tells us a woman has to act a certain way. Woman has to look a certain way. And I don't think I really need to have any more discussion on that. I think we all understand that point. But the book of Proverbs devotes a whole chapter to the virtuous woman. There's so much more to be said by so much smarter people than I on this topic. We could do weeks-long discussion on that. I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying there's some things we can learn from social media, and there's some things the Bible teaches us. In Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Scripture places great importance on the role of a virtuous woman. As I said, from 31:10 on, the rest of the chapter is devoted to her. I encourage you to spend some time to read that. One thing I wanted to point out, it's actually an acrostic. So each verse begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. So the first letter of each verse is the entire alphabet from beginning to end. As I'm coming to a close this evening, you can stand. I hope something that I said kind of pricks your heart. I know we're a little bit early. I don't think anybody's going to complain about that too much. But I do hope something that I said makes you think a little bit. You know what? Maybe I need to filter the amount of information that I'm getting, filter the amount of knowledge I'm gaining from things like social media, things like the media in general, things around us. And it doesn't even matter if you're looking at conservative things versus liberal things, whatever it is, there's a balance we need to have. The world has a lot of things to say through media and social media mainly. Not all of them are incorrect. However, if we devote too much time to that, to listening to those things and not of Scripture, our worldview may be skewed. If we have that hunger, if we're hangry for the Word of God, if we're hangry to learn more about God's Word, as we are to just sit on our phones and our computers or pick up the paper in the morning or whatever it is you're doing, whatever, however you get your news and your media, however you get that, if we have that hunger for the Word of God, can you imagine how far we'll go? Wisdom can be gleaned from a multitude of sources. I'm currently reading books on leadership, on the practical applications of leadership. That is not bad. That is not wrong. It's not bad to learn about communication. It's not bad to learn about those things or whatever your field of study is or business is. But if that's all I do, if that's all I'm taking in, then something's wrong. Something's out of alignment in my life. The Word of God has so many great things that sometimes we just skip over. It's easy to go to Google and find the answers. I joked about it in this lesson, but I, on a daily occurrence, if not multiple times a day, I go to Google and find the answer. At the dinner table the other night, I Googled how old Nancy Pelosi was. I don't even know why it came up, but she's 78 years old, maybe 76, I don't remember. You can find almost anything in social media. Let's make sure we're finding things from the Word of God. Let's make sure we're doing our part to have that well-rounded base of knowledge. In closing, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Let's just take a moment at the end here just to thank God for giving us this guide, this book, for giving us the ability to glean wisdom from him. There's been some people that I'm so thankful they wrote down their success story so I can learn from that. But I'm even greater thankful for the Word of God that I can learn from that. So let's just take a few moments in closing to thank God and ask him to help us to continue in this daily learning. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your Word, God. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given us, God. Lord, encourage us to seek you, to seek the Word of God for direction, God, to apply it to our daily life, God. It's not just a book that was written a long time ago, God, but there are things in there that we can use every day, Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to help us, God, seek you as a guide, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've given us this roadmap, God. God, I ask you to be with us for the remainder of this week. I ask you, Lord, to go before us and protect us and guide us, God. Thank you again for your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be dismissed.